please. No one likes a dry speaker. You're a refreshment. You're a refreshment to the saints.
Hopefully these bad jokes dry out.
Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, please. I think my eyes were closed for that one. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By the way, does everybody have a Bible? I'm not trying to put you on the spot or anything. Does everybody either have a Bible or next to a Bible? This is rather important. I should have asked before. Dave, are there extra Bibles?
Yeah.
Is everybody either have a Bible or next to a Bible? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. It's very important that you see for yourselves what the Lord has said. The Lord will speak to you through His Word. Very, very important to look for yourselves and see what He has said. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Father, we just want to ask for your help one more time. Father, we pray that you would grant us the ability to sit at your feet with open ears and an open heart, open eyes, that you would grant us a Christ-likeness, Father, that you would mold us and shape us and help us to see where we fall short. Father, you know the needs that are in this room. Perhaps it's not popular to talk about such things in public, and perhaps none of us would ever hear about it, but you know the broken hearts that are in this room. You know the struggles, the temptations, the needs so much better than any of us do, Father. You even know our own personal needs better than we do. And so we pray, Lord, that you would help us just to sit calmly, humbly, openly before you. And we pray that you would minister to every need that is in this room. Father, I pray that you would give them exactly what they need. And I pray it with such joy and complete confidence in you, because you've never failed us. You've never let us down. It's just like you to want to pour blessing on us. And so that's what we ask, Father. You're a kind God looking for ways to bless these young people. And so we pray to that end, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we commit this meeting to you. Amen. Amen. Yesterday we talked about refusing to be defined by the world. What are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to be a servant of God, right? And then the rest might fall into place how it will. But define yourself as a follower of Christ. Like when people ask me, what are you? I could say, I'm a preacher. But why would you define yourself by one little activity? Why not define yourself in a much broader sense? I'm a servant of the Most High God. In fact, I met a politician one time, and he was a rather arrogant man, and he stuck out his hand, and I knew who he was, but he stuck out his hand, and he introduced himself with his full title. And I looked back at him, and I shook his hand, and I said, I'm Scott DeGroff. And I was so tempted to say, servant of the Most High God. I didn't do it. I felt that would probably be a little arrogant, but I didn't do it. But that's who we are, right? Servants of the Most High God. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, Moses refused to be identified by Egypt and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He made a choice. Any person that you want to look at that was greatly used of God, every person that you want to look at that was greatly used of God at some point in their life made a choice. This is what my life is going to be about. So are you choosing Christ in that sense? Not eternally. I don't mean for salvation. Are you choosing him to honor him and follow after him? He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. So he esteemed it. He weighed it all out and said, oh, I'd much rather have this than this. Is Moses glad today that he did that? What do you think? We're completely non-committal. Yes, he is. If we had the time, perhaps we could look at the Apostle Paul. He refused. He chose. He esteemed. The Apostle Paul is with the Lord Jesus Christ with his reward today. Is he glad that he suffered? Glad that he chose? Of course he is. All these things are recorded for our benefit. And as young people, you have your whole lives ahead of you. You can refuse, choose, esteem. Number four, forsake. Let's read verse number 27. Forsake. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. So if you're taking notes, or if you just have a memory that can retain such things, forsaking. Remember last night we ended with a question. What is the one thing that's holding you back in your fruitfulness and in your service for the Lord Jesus Christ? Just between you and a loving Heavenly Father. Did the Lord answer that question for you? I don't know necessarily that the Lord would answer that question for all of you, like 100% of you, but I feel extremely confident that if you will ask the Lord that with a humble heart, if you'll say, what's the one thing that's holding me back in my service and in my fruitfulness for you, I'm extremely confident that he will answer that question for you. What if he asks you to do something that's hard? Are you willing to do that? When I was in high school, I told you last night, I played football. I loved football. I had great friends on the football team. Still to this day, I know men aren't supposed to say such things, but still to this day, I love those guys. They were like brothers in a lot of ways. You lift weights together. You play. You watch films together. You play together. I happened to end up in a school district that had a good football team, and so you're successful together. And they were a lot like brothers. Friday nights were the games, of course. Thursday nights were football dinners. And so you'd go to football dinners. And I didn't come from a wealthy family, but I lived in a wealthy school district. And so you'd go to all these huge homes, and the parents would all be upstairs, and the food would be upstairs. And so you'd arrive, and you'd get your food, and pretty soon the football players would start filtering their way down into the lower level. Well, these houses all had TVs and stuff everywhere, and so pretty soon all the football players would be downstairs, all the adults would be upstairs, you would eat for sometimes like 5 or 10 minutes, and then somebody would pull out a not-so-nice video, and they would walk over and they would start to insert it into a video player. And I would get up, and I would make my way out. And all the football players would start to say, oh, come on, stay, oh, come on, you know, and they'd try to provoke you. The funny thing was every one of those guys, on a one-to-one basis, every one of those guys said, I really respect that you do that. But together, they tried to draw you into it. I got awfully tired of that. There were times where I could stay for a half an hour, and then they'd pull out a video, and I'd leave. There were times where I could stay for like 10 minutes. I'd drive over, you'd get your food, I'd get like a third of the way through my food, and then I'd have to get up and go. And I finally prayed about it. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? You want me to keep going to these football dinners, or what else could I do for you? And I realized that every Thursday, there was an evangelistic outreach with junior high students. And so I decided, this is crazy. And so I stopped going to the football dinners, and I started spending my Thursday nights going to the evangelistic outreach. I made a choice, right? I waited out, And I thought, well, I could either go for 10 minutes. I was trying to be a good testimony. I was trying to show these guys and love these guys and live with these guys. Or I finally just got tired of it, and I said, I'll forget it. I still played football. I still lifted weights. I still watched the films. I still tried to witness to the guys. But I just stopped going to that. Would the Lord have you forsake something that you're currently involved in? It might be sin. And again, we talked about it last night. But it's very likely, if it's sin, it's extremely likely that you're the only person in the room that knows it. We get incredibly good at hiding our sin, don't we? It's not popular in our circles to be publicly characterized by sin, so we get very good at hiding it. The Lord might ask you to forsake sin. I hope you take Him seriously. Everywhere I go, I see two things. Sometimes I feel like it's the only two things that I see. I see the blessing of obedience and righteousness, and I see the destruction of sin everywhere I go, at home and every trip that I take. So here's the first question underneath forsaking. Here's the first question. Do you believe God? Do you think that the Lord's right? That sin brings a curse. It will destroy. It will rip apart. Sin is a master. Do you believe God? That righteousness is the path of blessing. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Do you believe the Lord is right? Are you willing to change? What would the Lord have you forsake? You're a little bit away from retirement, but are you going to live for retirement, or are you going to live for heaven? It's a practical choice, really. I have a cousin that lives in Arizona, and I talked to him a number of years ago, and I said, how's your job going? He said, oh, it's okay. I said, if you could do anything, what would you do? Quit. I said, well, if you quit, what would you do? Golf. And that was the extent of it. And I said, are you serious? He's like, yeah. I said, you just want to golf. Yep. That's the extent of what he wants out of life. He doesn't want to have to go to the factory, and he would like to golf. Life ends up being pretty practical. If you ask the Lord, what do you want me to forsake? I would feel so confident that He would answer that question for you. If He answers that question, are you willing to change? We'll come right back to Hebrews, but go to Galatians chapter 6, if you would. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14. Everybody looking for yourselves at what the Lord says. This is the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 14, he says this. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If you're a Bible underliner, a highlighter, if you're taking notes, whatever your particular persuasion is, I encourage you to underline that little phrase. The world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Is that true for you? All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. Is that true for you? You've given up your earthly hopes, dreams, desires. I only want to live for Him. Men and women that were greatly used of God, at some point they come to this point. The world is dead to me, and I'm dead to the world. I only want to be alive, useful for the Lord Jesus Christ. So, point of application, what do you need to forsake? We have a brother from the Midwest who's a missionary in Brazil. His name is Warren Brown. About 3 or 4 years ago, he came to our assembly. Our assembly was under tremendous conviction at the time that we were not seeing people saved, to put it bluntly. We prayed about that problem, and on our knees, asking the Lord, the leader of our local assembly, what he would have us do. And the Lord brought a brother from Ontario, from the Ottawa area, named John Sinclair. You guys know him? Brought him down to Kansas. It was the first time he'd ever been in our assembly. And his message was the rebuke against Israel for fruitlessness. And we sat there. You remember that knife we talked about last night? We sat there under tremendous conviction from the Spirit of God. And we had a spontaneous prayer meeting after that. And we asked the Lord again, what would you have us do? Well, it's a long story, but the last of five brothers that the Lord brought through with his message was Warren Brown. And he asked this question. He said, what must you die to in order to bear much fruit? Boy, that's a good question. He started his message with that question. He said it partway through several times, and he ended his message with that question. And so I'll ask you that today. Underneath this point of forsaking, Moses forsook. And we're asking the question, what do you need to forsake? Another way of saying the same thing. What must you die to in order to be greatly used of God? In order to bear much fruit for the Lord? You know, when he asked us that in Topeka, Kansas, we realized we had to die to our time. We were using our time for ourselves. We realized we had to die to our comfort zones. There were things that we were very uncomfortable with that the Lord was going to ask us to do. And we had to die to our comfort zones in order to be greatly used of God. He had put together a series of 22 lessons, an evangelistic Bible study, and he said, if that would be helpful to you, I would gladly give that to you. It's on DVD. And we said, hey, praise the Lord. Two brothers prayed about it and decided they would lead these evangelistic studies. They both felt like, you know, who are we to lead these? They were both very scared. On Thursday nights, they would go and lead the studies, and the rest of the assembly would come together. Now, our prayer meeting's on Wednesday night, our corporate prayer meeting. But the rest of the assembly was invited, and most of them came to a special prayer meeting on Thursday night. We'd get there at 6:45. Their study started at 7 and ended at 8. So we'd get there at 6:45. We'd pray till 8:15. And the whole time that they were fighting on the front lines, we were standing on the mountain, so to speak, with our arms raised to the Lord. And here we fought. We hadn't seen people saved in years in our assembly. And so we, week after week after week, one young guy that came to that is Jeff. Jay Ball knows Jeff. He came to that first study. He first was scared, terrified, had no idea what we were or who we were, if we were a cult or anything else. But 4 weeks into the study, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He then went home and led his own wife, Ashley, to Christ. They now have a little baby, Ezra, who's being raised in a Christian home. All of this fruit. We've seen a lot of people saved in the past 4 or 5 years. Through that method, we went from fruitlessness to bearing fruit. And what the Lord asked us to forsake was time and comfort zone. So what would the Lord have you forsake this weekend? I don't doubt that he'll tell you what it is. What I really hope is that you're willing to forsake it. Are you willing to be more blessed than what you are today? Are you willing to know the Lord better than how you know him so far? What are you excited by? Thrilled by? What do you enjoy? I know the quote-unquote spiritual answer is the Lord Jesus, right? But I hope that that's the truth of your heart. Does anybody like sports? Sports fans? A few of you? I'm a sports fan. I went to a football game one time, and they scored a touchdown, home team, and I saw an adult man jump four rows of chairs down next to another adult man who he did not know. They embraced each other, jumped up and down, and then he kissed him on the forehead. And they were both, they'd never met each other. They're just cheering for the same team, right? Well, that's passion. They were passionate about their team, and so that brought them together. What are you passionate about? Okay, back to Hebrews 11, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11, point number 5, verse number 28. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Now, if you're taking notes, the point is keeping. So we've seen Moses refusing, choosing, esteeming, forsaking, and now he's going to keep. What is he keeping? The Passover. He had been instructed to do certain things, and he was going to obey. So if you want to know, if you want it in one word, that's what it is, obedience. Are you obeying the Lord? If you're going to be greatly used of God, if you're going to know God, obedience is the key that opens the door, so to speak. And again, I'm not talking about knowing God in terms of eternal life. I mean really knowing Him, getting to know Him better. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to shake your heads or anything, but do you? Someone asked me that when I was your age, and you know what? You want to know what I said? I said, yep. And then I walked away from the conversation, and I thought, do I love the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Lord started using that question in my mind, and I started asking myself, well, what do I love about the Lord Jesus? First thing that popped into my head, I love that I'm saved. I said, well, that's something about me, not about Him. And then I said, well, I love that I'm going to heaven, not hell. And then I said, I love that He was willing to lay down His life for me. And I thought, what do I really love about the Lord Jesus? In fact, when I was 18 years old, the breaking of bread, a meeting that I'm going to assume that most of you are completely familiar with, that meeting was brand new to me. I'd never seen a meeting like that before. And I started seeing that. And actually, I think I'd seen it a handful of times, but I didn't have any idea really what it was. But I started breaking bread regularly when I was 18 years old. And these brothers would stand up and talk about what they love about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would say, wow, amen, I agree with that. And then this brother would stand up and he would talk about what he loved about the Lord Jesus Christ. And on it went. And if that was the point in my life where I started developing a deeper and deeper and deeper love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are you keeping? Are you obeying? What are some things that we can be obeying? How about coming with your basket full for the breaking of bread? Young women, do you think it's important for you to come prepared for breaking of bread? In fact, if we're going to compare it, who's it more important for? Is it more important for the young men to come prepared for breaking of bread, since they can participate vocally? Or is it more important for the young women to come prepared for breaking of bread? Well, there's no great answer to that, is it? The real answer is that it's equally important for both. Sometimes our physical activity drives how much we're prepared. Girls, I think in some ways it'd be more challenging for you to come prepared for breaking of bread because you're going to be silent. You're going to offer your thoughts to the Lord. As a corporate group of thoughts, you're going to offer them silently. Young men, there's that challenge of participation. If you want to honor the Lord Jesus, if you would want to, at some point, when the Lord leads you, participate vocally, well, that tends to drive you to come with a full basket. It would be such a blessing if every one of you said, I want to be like Moses. I want to keep, I want to be prepared. I want to obey. I want to come with a full basket to breaking the bread every week. How about personal remembrance or personal worship, you might call it? Daily time with the Lord. That would be such a blessing if every one of you were spending daily time. You're keeping that, spending time with the Lord Jesus, quiet time. If you're not doing that, let me make one little suggestion. This came from Ironside. He suggests that you spend 5 minutes a day praying, 5 minutes a day reading. This is a 15-minute quiet time. 5 minutes praying, 5 minutes reading, and then 5 minutes in what he called personal worship of the Lord. And so I would encourage you that way. That was a big encouragement to me in my growing up years. If you do that, coming with a full basket won't be a problem. Personal prayer. The scripture says to be serious and watchful in your prayers. Are you serious about prayer? Personal prayer, corporate prayer, the prayer meeting. It'd be a wonderful thing to keep, to obey. One more. Keep/guard your heart for Him. Keep/guard your heart for Him. In other words, purity. Is purity a big issue amongst young people today? It was 20 years ago when I was a young people. It always will be an issue amongst people. Boy, I encourage you to keep and guard your heart for Him. Don't cheat on your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, like we talked about last night. You want to know my encouragement? Now, I'm just an old fuddy-duddy, right? But this is my encouragement for you. Skip the whole dating thing. Now, I don't care what you call it. That's my particular persuasion. I don't care if you call it courting. I don't care if you call it dating. I'm for biblical, holy relationships. And I'm 100% for young people to love the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to ask the Lord to pick their spouse for them if He would have them to be married. That's what I'm in favor of. I encourage you to skip the whole dating thing. Just wait for the Lord to pick out a spouse for you. When I was in college, a very godly man looked at me and he said, all you have to do is love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Pursue after Him with everything you have. And if the Lord would have you be married, then eventually you'll be going along firmly focused on Christ, and you'll look over and there'll be somebody walking right along beside you. And that's exactly what happened to me. I just decided, I'm just going to pursue the Lord. I'm going to skip all the heartbreak, all the emotional breakups. I'm going to skip all the trouble and the drama. And, you know, I'm going to let all my friends who wouldn't skip it do that. And I'm just going to miss all of that. I just want the one blessing that the Lord has for me. The only girlfriend I ever had in my life was my wife. That's such a blessing. Looking back, everybody pretty much would look back and choose that if they could. Now, again, I know that it's a big can of worms, but I'm not intending to spend a message talking about dating. But so many young people stumble along the way because of these things. Moses kept the Passover. He obeyed the Lord's instructions. I encourage you to keep yourselves, guard your hearts for Him, girls especially. Guard your hearts. I know a very godly man, and one of his daughters fell in love, quote unquote, with an unsaved man. And she came to her dad and she said, "We're going to get married." And her dad started crying and looked at his daughter and said, "You know that you are out of the will of God." And she started crying and she said, "I know, Dad, but I love him." And she married him. And now she's been married for all these years with one person saved in the relationship, one person lost in the relationship. No spiritual unity. She's experienced the consequences of that for all these years. She's grown, raising her kids now in a home where there's no spiritual leader. All of the consequences. And what happened is she didn't guard her heart. She, quote unquote, fell in love with him. And once that bond was so strong, then she felt like she couldn't turn away from it. She didn't turn away from it. And she experiences the consequences of it. Please guard your heart. You know, I get to fly back to Kansas on Wednesday. 80 degrees there. Or what's that? 23. 23 degrees there. Right? Woohoo! I don't have to live with the consequences of your decisions. Who has to live with the consequences of your decisions? You do, right? These are not hard questions. You do. So please, take the Lord at His word. Take the Lord seriously. Guard your heart. Boy, I encourage you to have no physical relationship until you're engaged in terms of holding hands, kissing. Is that a conservative standard? Well, in our society, that's a very conservative standard. I see young people all the time suffering because they're not keeping themselves. They're not guarding themselves. So, do you want to be blessed? Okay, John chapter 14, if you would. We'll come right back to Hebrews, but I want you to see a verse here in John chapter 14. Can I add one more thing? I want to add one more thing. I see so many people suffering in these ways that I just want to say one more thing about it. Do not steal physical affection from someone else's future spouse. It's so important. The scripture talks about it in Thessalonians. Do not defraud your brother. Do not rob your brother. Until you know, someday, Lord willing, if the Lord has you to be joined in marriage, then physical affection is due one another. And it's a wonderful joy in marriage. What is normal in our society today is the giving and receiving, which really biblically is the stealing of affection before it's appropriate, before God made it to be so. If you get into a relationship, this is becoming normal in Christian circles too. If you get into a relationship and you are physically affectionate with that person, and then that person grows up, which is incredibly likely that you're not their spouse. If that person grows up and marries someone else, then you stole physical affection from someone else's spouse. So I just encourage you. Now again, I don't have to live with your choices. I get to go home and live with my own choices. But I really encourage you, be blessed because of righteousness. Guard your hearts for Him. You will not be sorry if you just say, I'm just going to love the Lord Jesus and trust Him. Okay, John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse number 21. We're talking about keeping the Passover, an example of obedience. And I want you to see something here. John chapter 14, verse number 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you're taking notes, jot down this little phrase. Obedience leads to intimacy. Obedience leads to intimacy. If you, in modern day terms, keep the Passover, if you just obey the Lord, that will lead to knowing the Lord better. So important. Breaking of bread, prayer meeting, daily devotions, daily prayer time. Obey and honor your father and mother. Just the simple, normal Christian life. If you say yes to God in those things, you will get to know Him better and better and better. I hope you see the incredible privilege that that is. Do you want to know the Lord better? I do. I was sitting on my couch at 3:30 in the morning, probably 6 or 7 weeks ago, crying. My father, about 2 months ago, who knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior, went home to be with the Lord. That's one of the hardest things emotionally that I've had to deal with. And so there I sat on my couch, tears running down my face. I had my Bible open, but I really wasn't reading very much. I was talking to the Lord, and I said to the Lord, Lord, I need a hug. And then I said to the Lord, how do you hug people from heaven? And I wasn't doubting that He wanted to or that He could. I just wondered how He would do it. And then within a few hours, that next morning, at the beginning, I could hardly sleep at all. In a few hours, that next morning, in came the messages on Facebook, text messages on my phone, emails. And over those next days, that was Saturday night, and over those next days until the Wednesday when we had the remembrance, the memorial service, I received somewhere from 300 to 400 messages from people. So many hugs through the Lord's people that I barely could stand it. At one point, I had to give my phone to my wife and just tell her, just read them to me when they come in. Every time I would look at my phone, there would be 3 or 4 more messages. That morning, at 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 people emailed, and they said, my wife and I couldn't sleep last night, and so we just laid in bed and prayed for you. That's a hug, right? I'm so thankful for a God like that. I'm so thankful that our God, who dwells in the heavens, also can figure out creative ways to give us hugs, to love us, to cherish us. He's an amazing God. Obedience leads to intimacy. Boy, I hope you want to know this God better. He loves you. In fact, John 14, John 15, the Lord Jesus looks at his followers and he says, "No man has any greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends." The Lord Jesus, in modern day English, could not love you more than he does. If you've made mistakes in the things that we've talked about, keeping, guarding your heart for him, the Lord Jesus could not love you more than he does. There's a way back. In fact, Lord willing, we'll talk more about that on Sunday morning. There's a way back. Confession, repentance, forgiveness. He who confesses and forsakes will find mercy, the scripture says. Boy, it's so awesome to have a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so awesome to get to know him better. Obedience leads to intimacy. So, it's simple. If you're saying yes to God, you will get to know him better. If you're saying no to God, that will hinder, it will shut down your spiritual growth. How much fruit are you going to bear this next year? Say you come back to this youth conference a year from now. Well, how much fruit are you going to bear between now and then? Well, it's your choice in that sense. Now, it's not your choice what kind of fruit or the timing of the fruit, but how much are you going to get to know about the Lord Jesus Christ between now and then? Well, it's your choice in that sense. Obedience leads to intimacy. He delights to reveal himself to you. You know, when I was your age, I had friends at camp, and some of them would do well spiritually at camp, and then they would go home, and they would fall away, and they would do poorly at home. Disobedience, carnality, worldly lifestyle. And then they would come back to camp with all the guilt, all the consequences, all of that. And they would seemingly repent and confess. They'd have a great summer. But then that whole cycle would happen. And I saw that happen maybe 4 or 5 times. Boy, I hope you guys take advantage of this truth. Obedience leads to intimacy. Okay, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 if you would. One more little point. Hebrews chapter 11. This is point number 6. Verse number 29. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. If you're taking notes, jot down that little word, passing. I know it's in past tense in the verse, but it has to be a good outline, so you have to keep them the same. Refusing, choosing, esteeming, forsaking, keeping, and passing. What did they do when they went through the Red Sea, when they passed through the Red Sea? What did they do? They won a victory, right? Was it their brilliant military strategy? Hold up the stick, right? That was the extent of it. And yet they won the victory. So it shows us, where does victory come from? It comes from God. How did they win the victory at Jericho? They just obeyed. They did what the Lord told them. Walk around the city, and they won the victory. Why did they lose at Ai? You guys know these stories, don't you? Why did they lose at Ai? There was sin in the camp, right? It took God's hand of blessing away that had to be corrected before they could proceed on in victory. So Moses went through the Red Sea. If you're writing down one word, write down the word victory. Do you want the Lord's victories? You know, I wouldn't expect 100% of you to catch this vision, but I am praying. I prayed this morning that the Lord would raise up amongst you. You come from so many different assemblies. Every one of your assemblies needs young people to catch the vision of God. And I'm praying that the Lord will choose certain ones of you, specific ones of you, that will be leaders amongst your generation that will see this and say, that's what I want. That's what I want to give my life for, the victories of God. I don't want anything else except honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, serving him. I want to see the Lord do something in my generation. Boy, I hope the Lord touches some of your hearts. And I hope you say, that's what I want to be. By his grace, for his glory. You know, on this continent, North America, in church history, I mean, we have a rather short church history, the last couple hundred years, but there was one generation on this continent where there were 300 to 350, depending on who you read, assemblies planted in one generation. Do you think the Lord could do that again? 300 to 350 Boy, that seems like a lot of assemblies, doesn't it? Strengthen the things that remain. Serve the Lord. Go out and take the land. I'm praying that you will, as William MacDonald put it, do something for God. Be greatly used of God. Here in Hebrews, they defeated the greatest army on earth, the Egyptians. Did we talk about this last night? I think we did a little bit. The most powerful army on earth was coming after the children of Israel. They would have been terrified. But you raise the stick, the waters are parted, you go through on dry land, and the greatest army on earth pursues them, and then every soldier in that army was destroyed in the water. It was a tremendous victory for God. What's the Lord going to use you to do? I don't want to encourage you to be creative. Don't think, this is what I'm going to do for God. If the Lord gets your heart and says, I want to use you to bring about victories. If the Lord does that for you, then ask Him, what do you want me to do? It's such an important distinction. Don't try to do great things for Him. Let Him use you to do great things. I know it's a slight difference, but it's an important distinction. I know a young person who wanted to use his senior year for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in a public high school. He had 4,000 students in his public high school. And so he prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to use my senior year for you. And the Lord impressed upon his heart, I want you to give a gospel tract to every student in your high school. And so he said, okay. He went out, he worked, he saved the money, he bought 4,500 tracts to make sure that he would have enough. He went to the office, which any student could do, and he said, could I have a list of the student body? And so they printed it off, stapled it, and gave him a list. He started with the freshmen. He thought that would be the least intimidating. The ones he didn't know. And he started going through. He figured out, this is how many I have to give out every day if I'm going to make it by the end of the year. He started out great. At one point during the year, he fell off his pace a little bit. And so he redoubled his efforts. He caught back up. And by the time that they graduated in May, he had handed the story of Jesus Christ on paper in a gospel tract to the hand of every student in his high school, over 4,000 students. Is that a victory? Eternity will show what the Lord can do with little things like that. Well, it's not so little. Do you want to see God's victories? I pray that it'll be so. Don't get caught up with the world. Moses is such a tremendous example. He esteems, chooses, forsakes, passes, keeps. May the Lord speak to us for His glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You, Father, for Moses. We thank You for the example. And I pray for the young people in this room, Father, that they would